Hi, I'm Connor, and this is Learn English with Everest, a podcast where I chat to native English speakers in real, unscripted English, and then, step by step, explore the language used. This episode is the third in our mini-series about the Cambridge exams, the advanced and the first, also called the CAE and the FCE. Last week we looked at the reading section, and today it's all about use of English, so grammar and vocabulary. Joining me this week is Niamh, a teacher here in Everest with lots of experience teaching Cambridge students. So we're going to give you some tips and advice about improving your grammar and vocab skills, and go through the use of English section in detail. And along the way, there's lots of useful vocabulary and expressions you can use yourself in the exam. And don't forget, if you miss anything, all the vocabulary, grammar, and other material is at everestlanguageschool.com/podcast. So that's everestlanguageschool.com/podcast. Before we begin, I'll just remind you of the structure of the exam. So the whole paper is the use of English and reading paper. And last week we covered all of the reading stuff. So this week we're just going to be focusing on the use of English half of the paper. So that's part 1 to 4. So Niamh and I started by chatting about a few ways you can improve your grammar and vocabulary more generally. All right, so hi Niamh, thanks for coming on the show.
Hello.
So today we're going to have a talk about some different ways to improve your grammar and your vocabulary outside the classroom. Maybe you're doing English classes at the moment, maybe you're not. But if you are going to do the first or advanced exam, you're going to be constantly trying to improve your vocabulary and obviously your grammar as well. So the use of English section is not really a section you can study the night before. You need to spend a bit of time sort of building your vocabulary, learning your grammar. So there are lots of ways to improve your grammar, to improve your vocabulary outside the classroom, different things you can do. So I thought I'd ask you, Niamh, if you had a few ideas or a few suggestions that things that students could do.
Okay, yeah, I have lots of ideas. Straight away, the very first thing I would be saying to people is read, read, read. So read anything at all that you can get your hands on. Read the side of a milk carton when you're drinking and eating your cereal in the morning. Read signs on the bus, read signs on the road. Turn on your subtitles in English if you're watching something in English on the television rather than translating it into your own language.
Yeah, so we were talking on last week's episode then about reading. So reading is going to improve your reading, but reading is also going to improve your vocabulary and your grammar. Yeah.
And improve those little connections and the little collocations that you're looking for in this paper. So it'll help you with noticing automatic collocations, automatic little combinations, nouns and prepositions, verbs, prepositions. Mm. Little chunks of vocabulary, phrases. So reading anything that you can.
Yeah.
And connected to that then, listening as well. I usually tell students to watch television as opposed to just TV series on Netflix, if possible, if you've access to a television.
Yeah, especially things where you're maybe a little bit outside of your comfort zone.
Absolutely. Soap operas are terrible, but really, really good for your vocabulary and casual language. And advertisements are really, really good for your casual language, especially for this, because they work on that principle that native speakers and proficient speakers know what's coming next. They're predicting the words that string together, and they're making little associations in your mind.
And how actively do you think you should be, or maybe you should do both, but in terms of just sort of passively watching TV and watching TV and taking notes sort of thing?
Well, I suppose it depends on how interested you are in what you're watching.
Yeah.
If, for example, with a soap opera is about a 20, 25 minute commitment every day, if you wanted to, and you might find yourself getting sucked into a drama, and then you won't even realize you're learning, and you're learning these casual conversation bits of language.
Bit of Fair City.
Yeah, a bit of Fair City. Yeah. And you know, there are soap operas for usually for every major city in the UK. Ireland, we also get the Australian soap operas here in New Zealand.
The classics,
So they're really good for your accents as well, which might help for listening later.
So Niamh points out the importance here of chunks of language. So a chunk is a piece of something. You know, a chunk of chocolate is a piece of a larger chocolate bar. And we'll come back to this later, but you need to learn not really individual words when you're learning new vocabulary, but chunks of language, words that go together. Neve says words that string together. So, for example, maybe you learn the verb to react, but rather than just learning to react, you firstly learn it with its preposition, to react to something. Then you use it in a word family, so the verb is to react, but the noun is reaction. And then maybe you could use that in an expression, a knee-jerk reaction. So a knee-jerk reaction is when we react to something very quickly, very instinctively, without really thinking about it rationally or logically. So this is a knee-jerk reaction. So Neve suggests watching soap operas, or soaps as we often call them. You've probably come across this word before, but you know, it's what we use to talk about the very specific type of TV show. They're kind of overly dramatic, they're on every day of the week, usually Monday to Friday, on at about 7 or 8 in the evening. And they're really, really popular in Ireland, in the UK, and lots of countries. In the UK, there's Coronation Street, for example, which I think is one of the longest running TV shows in the world. It's been going since 1960. In Ireland, we have a show like Fair City. And Irish people also really like watching Australian soap operas. So there's shows like Home and Away and other ones like that. And if you start watching soap operas, you never know, you might get sucked into them. So Neve talks about getting sucked into a show, you know, to get addicted to watching a show regularly. So what else does Neve recommend?
Other things I suppose you can do is, if you're interested in music, listening to songs, there's lots of websites out there that you can use to listen and type along at the same time. Or there's Lyrics Trainer.
Yeah.
There's lots of ways that you can look at subtitles for songs, or if you're interested in lyrics, or just something that maybe has been going round and round in your head and you're really interested in it and you just want to know what it is.
Because a lot of students listen to songs, and even native speakers, you listen to songs and you like the song, but you never really listen that carefully to the lyrics. And especially then if it's not your first language.
Absolutely.
If you find the lyrics online, which you can always do,
then
listen to a song you like again and read along, first of all, but then as a next step, really look at why did they use this vocabulary, what are the collocations, the idioms, the vocabulary, and start.
And if you're brave enough, what are the mistakes and what are the shortcuts they've taken, if you're feeling that strong with your language, if they've done that sort of thing.
And what about sort of keeping a record of vocabulary or things like that? Would you what sort of things work in terms of learning new vocabulary, remembering new vocabulary, that sort of thing?
Well, I guess if you're thinking straight away, I know we're talking about outside the classroom, but the first thing to think of, I would say, in the classroom or when you learn a new piece of vocabulary, a new word, a new noun or adjective or verb, is have a look. Particularly, are there any prepositions that go with it? Maybe start to note down, maybe, I mean, they're tried and trusted at this stage, a little circle diagram where you've got the word at the center and little clusters and chunks of text that might go well with it.
Yeah, because I think if we're talking about the use of English exam, a lot of this is not about individual words. It's, like you say, it's about chunks of language where you don't have just a word. You have the word with the preposition it always goes with, or in the idiom it's always in, or in the collocation, or that sort of thing.
And something like the preposition can help you when you get into the nitty-gritty and get down to actually doing this part of the exam. Something like the preposition can help you eliminate, for example, two or three of an option and leave you with the correct option. When you get to multiple choice, things like that. So I would say definitely start, if you haven't already, start taking notes, start asking people, and follow up. If you learn a new word in any context and you really like it or you want to use it, or even if you've looked it up in your dictionary, don't just look up the word and its translation or the word and its meaning. Dictionaries will be really good at showing you context, at giving you examples, at giving you words and phrases that these are commonly used in.
So yeah, take a note of all those lovely new words you hear every day. Maybe there were some in the last section. I really like the word nitty-gritty, which Neve just used. So the nitty-gritty is the finer detail, the specifics of something. So we're talking generally about vocabulary now, but in a minute, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of the Cambridge exams. We're going to get into the precise details. So what about memorizing all these words then?
And you need to look at them and then look at them again. I mean, all the sort of studies on how people learn vocabulary, they all kind of show that you have to see a new word like 5, 6, 7 times before it really goes into your memory.
And that goes back into your reading, listening.
And maybe writing as
and
well.
And writing if you can. Yeah, definitely trying to write and use a new word. As soon as you learn a new word, if you can try to use it as quickly as possible, and maybe someone will correct you, maybe you'll use it incorrectly. Who cares?
Or, exactly.
You've started using it and then you'll get the hang of it eventually.
Yeah. So learn it, write it down, try to go back to it as much as you can, use it in spoken English, use it in written English. And then when you start seeing these words again and a week later, you maybe see it in a newspaper and you say, I know I saw that word before, but I can't remember. Then you look it up again, but it's reinforcing the new word and things like that. So lots of ways of learning vocabulary and grammar as well, because a lot of this is connected to grammar.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, I mean, okay, for a lot of grammar, you need an explanation, you need to practice it, you need a grammar book, you need a teacher, and that's fine. But these are kind of other ways that you can be reinforcing what you've maybe learned in class and learning new things.
And seeing grammar in the wild, really.
In the wild, exactly. Yeah.
We use it every day. We sit down and we practice in class and we try to make it as realistic as possible in class.
Yeah.
But really, when you're out on the street or watching television or listening to something or listening to music, it is really about seeing it in different contexts and reinforcing it.
Beyonce used the present perfect. Oh my God. Or that side
second
of that
conditional if I were a boy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or the side of that bus has a passive. Yeah. Or, yeah, you know.
Absolutely.
These are definitely good things to do.
So start finding grammar and vocabulary in the wild and you'll be building your language for the Cambridge exams. Niamh and I then talked more specifically about the Cambridge exams, the first and the advanced. And we got into the nitty-gritty. As I said at the beginning, there are 4 parts to both exams. A multiple choice close, an open close, a word formation, and a keyword transformation section. We're going to go through these in a little bit of detail now.
So the first part is the multiple choice close. So this is a section in which you have, in this case, 8 questions. There's 4 options for each one. So what are you trying to do in this section, or what's the idea here?
You're really trying to form complete sentences. So you're looking for what the missing word will be. You're given 4 options to a missing word. It's a full text as well. It's not 8 different little questions.
True.
It is one full text. So it's a paragraph in context. And it'll have 8 little spaces, and each space has 4 suggested answers. And your suggested answers, you should, if you've been practicing and you're feeling confident, you should be able to eliminate at least 1, if not 2 of them, pretty much immediately.
There's usually one really bad answer and then 1 pretty bad answer.
And then 2 that are going to leave you thinking for a minute or two.
And there's often one sort of, not quite a decoy answer, but one answer that seems very obvious, or an answer that students will very often think is the right one. So you need to be a little bit careful.
And this is where, as well, you find, like in the classroom, we will give you, when we, especially at higher levels, if you learn a new word, we will tell you, and this is a synonym of, or ask you to remember, what are the synonyms for this? And this is often where you'll see maybe 2 words that have the same meaning, but only one of them fits in this particular context. Maybe because of how the rest of the sentence is structured, perhaps because of the preposition used.
Yeah.
Can you tell I love prepositions?
Prepositions are the key
to everything as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and then a lot of these are, they're idiomatic, they're collocations, they're words and phrases that go together.
They go together.
That's what we do in languages.
Yeah, and you get to a certain level where these things hopefully eventually become more automatic for you, and you don't even have to think about them. You will have to think about some of them in the exam. That's the point of the exam.
But I think as well, there should be a few across the board in the use of English. So there will be questions that you get immediately.
And then, you know, definitely they're right.
That's definitely right. That's definitely the answer. And then you can move really quickly on, because there will be other ones that you won't get immediately, especially when we get to the keyword transformation at the end, because that's one that you can just spend a long time.
And this is a question of time as well. You don't want to spend your time dwelling over one tiny little question in the first section.
This
is a question of speed.
Yes.
This part of the exam.
So there you have it. Prepositions are the key to everything. And yes, I totally agree. They definitely are when it comes to the Cambridge exams. So take Niamh's advice. I also use the expression there, across the board. So this is another useful term. When something is done across the board, it's done in every part, in every section of something. And Niamh also said to dwell on something. So to dwell on something, and don't forget that lovely preposition, to dwell on something, is to sort of remain thinking about something and not move on. So it's generally used in a pretty negative way, you know, stop dwelling on the past and think about the future, you know, stop staying in the past and not moving on. So let's move on. Next up is part two, the open close.
The second one is kind of similar. It's also what's called a close. But in this case, it's open. It is any word. Now, you know, they say any word.
Terrifying.
Yeah, really, it's not any it's word. Not it's any extremely word. Restricted.
Yeah, it's very limited. Yeah.
So what kind of things tend to, how do you think about the words?
They are words that we would think of as hopefully quite obvious pronouns, prepositions, linking words, adverbs. It's very rarely going to be a verb or a noun or an adjective. It can be, but this would usually be part of a phrase or part of an idiom, part of a collocation that you would hopefully know.
Yeah. So you're never going to get a yesterday I went to the blank.
Because exactly. That can be there's no randomly very, very open answers. It is called the open close, but it's open because you have to try and find the word in your head somewhere.
Yeah. And, but there really is only ever one answer.
There really is only one answer. Yeah. There's no argument about this when we're doing these in class. You know, there is only one answer.
And a lot of the time it is phrases that we use, things like as soon as, or due to, or in order to, or these little structures and phrases. They're very, very short, but they always go together. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like you say, you're looking at prepositions, pronouns, linking words, those sort of things. Very often the answer is a very small word, a two or three letter word.
Absolutely.
They tend to be is and but and to, and very often auxiliary verbs as well. Yeah. You know, you're missing a have or a be.
Absolutely.
Or
and don't forget with your auxiliary verbs, you can really look at the other verbs around it. If you have a past participle, you're looking at having some form of have or some form of the verb to be. So think about your verb combinations.
Yeah.
That'll work. And don't forget, because as we said for the first two sections, because they are one complete text rather than little questions separately, do look at the punctuation as well. Mm. So something like the word however might occur at the start with a little comma, but for example, the word but won't work at the start of a sentence, or and won't work at the start of a sentence.
Yeah, where the word, comma. Where the space
so
is.
So the placing, the punctuation, the anything like that, you really need to be looking at the full big picture and then getting down to it as
well. Yeah, so big picture first, then small, but very small picture. Yeah.
So that's the open close. More prepositions, but also lots of auxiliary verbs, lots of pronouns, adverbs. As I say, there tend to be a lot of very small but very important words. So then we have part three, the word formation section.
So the third one then is word formation. So this is kind of, this is all about word families, about how you build words. You start with happy and then you get happiness, or then you get unhappy or unhappiness and these sort of things. So what are some good tips or things to think about for this section?
You would be thinking, I suppose, think about your little word categories. So whatever word you get, try to identify as quickly as possible. Is it a noun, a verb, an adjective, an adverb? Is it already in a negative with a negative prefix or suffix? And after that, look in the space and see, I suppose, if you've time, you'd like to make all the word trees for all the words, but you don't have time for this in the exam. When you're learning or practicing, you could certainly be doing that.
Yeah.
But in the exam, what you'll be thinking is have a look at the space. What type of word is needed? If you have, for example, the article a or the, you know the next word has to be a noun, so yeah. some form of a noun. So you're really looking at the context for what type of word can go in there. Yeah. If you have a space and the next word is a noun, you're probably looking at an adjective. Or if you have a space and the next word is an adverb, you're probably looking at an adjective as well. So yeah, something like that.
So you need to really be aware of what type of word you have, and then also which suffixes and prefixes tend to go with those words. So like you say, if you're sure it's a noun, then maybe ness, N-E-S-S, is of likely
Asian.
Or something like that, whereas maybe L-Y, Lee, could be an adjective, but it's most likely an adverb, and you know, these sort of things.
And you can be practicing these things before the exam. Like we said before, when we talked about collecting new vocabulary, if you learn a new word, a new noun, for example, you can start to think about, maybe is there a negative version of this noun? Happiness, unhappiness. If you're thinking about how to make an adjective, don't forget all the different ways we can make adjectives. You've got your past participle adjective like bored, your present participle adjective like boring, and you'll know from the context which one of these it'll be.
And I think, as you say, you mentioned positive and negative as well. That's often something that's easy to forget. You're like, oh, I know it's a noun.
There's usually one negative.
So you need to remember that you might need to make two changes to it.
Absolutely.
So you go from happy to unhappiness in this case, or that sort of thing. Yeah. So again, like we've said, you have context, you have a text, you have a sentence. So use the context, think about the form of the word, and use all of your lovely prefixes and suffixes that you've been learning for a long time.
Learn your suffixes. You should be thinking at all stages, what can I put at the beginning of this word? What can I put at the end of this word? Maybe it's negative. Maybe I should be adding dis, like disapprove, or im, like impossible, or un, like undo, or in, like insane, or ill, like illogical. I mean, this is something that's quite messy and complicated. So there's quite a lot to learn, and the word formation section is where all of this gets tested. And then, finally, we have the key word transformation, the one that students tend to hate quite a lot.
And the last one, then, is the key word transformation. This one is kind of, it's the most sort of puzzle-like of the sections. And it's something that, to be honest, even for native speakers, you can look at some of them and go, and then you just get it.
And then I get it,
But I think when you're in exam conditions and you're trying to get them, it's very easy to just stare at a blank piece of paper and realize, oh,
I think this is why this is the final one. They don't want you to look at it till the end.
I mean, I think I would... Yeah, I mean, because we haven't talked about sort of whether you should do them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
And that's not... Or sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's not necessarily the case at all. But this is definitely the biggest sort of... time hole, you
absolutely.
Know, your time
it's
can
a,
just
it's
get
a vacuum
up.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah. You're totally sucked into this. And also, if you start with it, I'm not saying not to start with it, but if you start with it and you start to panic halfway through, don't let that infect all the rest of your parts of the test.
It's also one that you could do. If you did it early on, you can do it.
That's
and
true.
Then you can come back to it after the whole paper is finished. You've done all the use finish, you've all the reading. If you have 3 or 4 minutes and you've left one or two of those ones blank, you can spend the last 3 minutes
That's
of the exam
it.
Staring at the question and hoping
maybe
something
in
to you.
One of the other texts will have sparked it off in your mind.
Something
might have reminded you of something else.
And you never know. And these ones, they tend to be, a lot of the time, they tend to be about things like changing active to passive. There can often be 2 or 3 changes you need to make. Very often, though, it just you just need to know an idiom, for example.
Yeah.
And if you don't know it, you're not going to get it. You know?
You're not going to get it. Or you know it, but you've got one word wrong. So it is, unfortunately, a bit ruthless, you know, with this. You just need to know it or not.
And you need to make sure you don't make any stupid mistakes, like changing the tense by mistake or
keeping
changing the
tense
word
the same is really important. And keeping the sense, the overall sense, the same. There are some times where the tense might change very, very slightly, perhaps in the advanced. But
certainly, like, if they give
the
word
sense
come,
has to be the same.
You can't use the word came.
You can't.
Yeah, so
no.
You need to be sort of accurate. So if you know the answer and then you lose points for for making an unnecessary change, that's even worse.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You're going to be kicking yourself afterwards.
So, and also like little things like if you write the word don't, you know, a contraction, that's do not. So that's two words, you know, you need to, the word, they're very specific.
You do have to be really careful with your word count. And the word count is there to help you. It's there to to guide you into which phrase you need to use and how you're supposed to convert from one to the other.
Yeah. All right. Well, there are lots of excellent tips and advice and strategies and things like that. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Best of luck to everyone taking the exam.
So there you have it. Niamh used the expression to kick yourself afterwards, to realize too late that you should have done something, that it was really easy, but you forgot about it. Hopefully, with all of this advice, you won't be kicking yourself after your upcoming exam. And that's it. Lots of tips and strategies for your Cambridge Use of English exam. And hopefully you have a few new ideas on how to improve your grammar and vocabulary skills outside the classroom and how to approach the exam. And don't forget, for all of that vocabulary, grammar, exam tips and everything else, you can visit the website, which is everestlanguageschool.com/podcast. There were lots of useful phrases this week. We had things like to kick yourself, the nitty-gritty, a soap opera, to dwell on something, a chunk. So yeah, start learning all of this vocabulary right now. And that's part three of our Cambridge mini-series. In the final part next week, we'll be looking at writing and listening. Special thanks to my guest, Niamh, and thanks also to Nouveau Noise, who provided the theme music for the show. And if you like the show, please tell your friends, spread the word. We are always happy to have more people listening. And that's it. I'll see you next week.